country lane. Wherever there's a cottage small beside a field of grain, there'll always be.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And
joining us now is James Cronin, Professor of History at Boston College and an associate of the Center for European Studies at Harvard University, where he chairs the British Study Group and serves as on the editorial boards of the Journal of Social History and British Politics. He is the author of Industrial Conflict in Modern Britain, Labour and Society in Modern Britain, The Politics of State Expansion, New Labour's Past, and most recently, What's Left of the Left. He is currently writing a book on British and American foreign policy and the Anglo-American relationship since the 1970s. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Cronin.
Thank you.
And the British Prime Minister really had a rough time in the House of Commons. The Labour, both the backbenchers and the MPs, were shouting, "Where's Clegg?" a reference to the Liberal Democratic leader who didn't show up for the Prime Minister's explanation for what happened recently in Europe, where the Britain alone vetoed a European agreement and seems to have left itself out in the cold. What do you make of Clegg's absence?
Well, Clegg's absence is fairly clear in that he was very unprepared, I think, for just where and just how far Cameron would go in Brussels on Thursday and Friday. I think he'd agreed to a negotiating strategy, but the idea that it would come to a veto in which Britain would seem to be completely alone, without allies, and defending a rather narrow interest. That is, as you know, Cameron spoke and spoke up for Britain, but in terms of the interest of the City of London, which is London's Wall Street, that's not exactly a move that, you know, endears you to the broader public or to the Europeans as a whole. So I think Clegg and the Liberal Democrats, even if they were privy to what was going on and what Cameron would have proposed to his European allies, they were not at all prepared for the outcome. And they're upset and either genuinely disagree or want to at least be seen to disagree. So it's a big moment of crisis in the coalition.
Is it likely? Because this is a pretty tenuous coalition, isn't it? I mean, they don't have too many seats as a margin, do they?
Well, excuse me, when you put together the Tories and the Liberal Democrats, the numerical strength and dominance of the coalition is solid. But, of course, without the Liberal Democrats, the Tories don't have a majority. So, in that sense, it's tenuous. It's a reasonably strong coalition. And I think that when the coalition was formed, lots of people were surprised because they thought that the natural allies for the Liberal Democrats would be Labour and not the Tories. But in fact, the Tories and the Liberal Democrats got together, and they did so in a pretty effective way, and they agreed on quite a lot and quite a substantial program. And there were lots of interests that were served by the coalition. David Cameron got to, in a sense, look responsible and seem to appeal to a broader constituency. Nick Clegg and the Liberal Democrats finally had the aura of seriousness and responsibility and could be taken seriously as a result. So there are reasons to push them together that surprise people. But this is really the first big, big issue of principle on which they could really fall apart.
Again, I'm speaking with James Cronin, a professor of history at Boston College and associate of the Center of European Studies at Harvard University, where he chairs the British Study Group. He's the author of, most recently, What's Left of the Left. You mentioned this, the City of London being the main reason why David Cameron vetoed the rest of Europe, in effect, leaving himself alone, leaving the United Kingdom alone. He said that he negotiated in good faith and he genuinely looked tried to find an agreement and said that his demands were modest, reasonable, and relevant. Give us a sense then of what's going on with the City of London, because not, the financial district have not necessarily endorsed what Cameron has done, because I think quite understandably they see their future in Europe.
Yes, that's one of the ironies of this particular issue. I think that it is true, as Cameron would argue, that the European community, the European Union, is or was prepared to issue some financial regulations and perhaps move to a financial transactions tax, what some people call a Tobin tax, that could be detrimental to the City of London, that could put burdens on the city and the financial transactions and financial interests there. But it's also true that the city might be willing to put up with some regulations and some taxes in exchange for being able to maneuver and to do business on a wide scale within Europe. Now, we don't really know with what regulations might be forthcoming from Europe, how much of an impediment they would constitute for British banking and finance. But there's reason why the city might not be quite as enthusiastic about protecting its own interests as Cameron seemed to be. And there was actually this very interesting comment that was made today by a man named Ollie Rain, who is the European Commissioner for Economics and Monetary Policy, who actually argued that even if Britain absents itself from the discussions of financial regulation and of economic policy and financial policy related to the euro, that new regulations that the European Union would promulgate about finance and financial transactions would still take effect in Britain. So this seems to be threatening to do whatever harm might be done to the city, even though Cameron has opted out of agreeing to this new treaty to help shore up the eurozone. It's a very interesting development.
Well, it does seem, though, that the European agreement, I mean, as bad as this thing appears to be for England, and at least, and even Clegg, by the way, the Deputy Prime Minister, said, just to give you an idea of the how deep the difference is over this European issue, he said, being isolated is potentially bad for jobs, bad for growth, bad for the livelihoods of millions of people in the country. But, of course, the coalition government is here to stay. Now, most analysts that I've talked to before and after this make-or-break European summit feel warned previously that, you know, they had to get their act together, had to do something bold to stop the bleeding. And after the summit, the consensus is they didn't do it, and that the markets are going to come back and pound the euro probably in January sometime. So I suppose, in a way, well, both sides are losers in this, right?
That's true. It's true. Well, we don't really know quite how effective the European countries will be or the eurozone countries will be in crafting a new treaty, in protecting the euro. Certainly the reaction of the markets today was not encouraging. I think that they may be a little more encouraging in the next few weeks, but as you say, there's a lot of refinancing of debt that has to occur in the first couple of months of the new year, and we really don't know how that will go. And if it goes poorly, and if the eurozone continues to be in crisis, and if the euro itself is threatened, then Cameron and his position may receive a kind of retrospective validation, which would, you know, help him. Might whether that would actually do much to repair the damage done to the coalition is another issue. I'm not quite sure about that. But it would certainly make Cameron and his position in the last few days look much more reasonable and even prescient. So, yes, it's a big It's a big issue.
But James Cronin, that's not to say that Cameron is being prescient here, is it? Isn't he really pandering to the Eurosceptics, Conservative MPs, his backbenchers?
Well, I think if you want to analyze what led him to take the position he took Thursday night and Friday morning, then I think you'd have to say very much what you just said, which is that he was pandering or trying to cope with the Eurosceptic MPs in his own party. If, on the other hand, several months down the road, the euro is still in crisis and perhaps heading toward a worse crisis, or even even talked about as something that will be jettisoned, in that context, he would be seen as prescient. Whether he is prescient or not is, something we'll have to see. I do think you're quite right that his decision late last week, Cameron's decision, was based overwhelmingly on a reading of domestic politics, and particularly of politics within the Tory party. So, yes, you're absolutely right about that. And whether you can make good policy internationally based on domestic political considerations is tricky. It's very complicated.
Well, obviously, the Labour leader, Miliband, is making everything out of it that he can. But one would think that the strongest suit that the opposition have is Cameron's and Clegg's economic policies that have ground the British economy to a halt, and in many ways serve as an example of the counterintuitive nature of austerity at a time of economic stagnation.
Well, indeed, and if the German view or the Franco-German view of what's to be done in Europe prevails, it will lead to austerity in a wide range of countries that could have the same negative effects as have been seen in Britain. I think one of the features of Britain and British politics and economics in the last 18 months or so is that while the coalition has proposed a lot of austerity measures, most of them have yet to take effect. Those that have taken effect seem to have gone along with other problems like the Eurozone crisis to slow down growth. Now, whether over the next year or two that will continue to be the case, we don't know. It's pretty likely that it will be the case, that austerity will produce further hindrances to growth, more unemployment, lack of demand. We don't quite know yet, because in part the austerity hasn't bitten yet in the way that it will. And of course, what happens in Europe and the effect of the crisis of the euro on the British economy, that could actually be much more important than anything Britain does or doesn't do in terms of domestic economic policy.
Well, just in closing, James Cronin, you could make that case here in the United States that what happens in Europe will really affect who gets elected president in 2012 more than anything else.
It could have a huge effect, yes. And therefore, if I were Barack Obama, I'd be rooting on the Europeans to make some sort of an arrangement that would calm markets and save the euro. We'll see if that works.
Well, I think it's a safe bet to say that he's been frantically doing that on the phone with Angela Merkel for some time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And he sent Geithner there last week to twist arms and push. Whether they're listening, who knows?
Well, at least they've got a safety net, a social safety net that's at stake here with austerity. And some people think that's the real subtext for a lot of this. We don't have anything like it, and we're going into austerity too. So I don't think, we should put this in perspective, that in many ways the Europeans have a better deal than we have.
A much better deal, much better social protections. And it even means that when austerity happens in Europe, there are all these social programs and there's these features of the social safety net, as you refer to it, that act as automatic stabilizers in the economy, because more people need unemployment, they get it, and so that helps to stimulate demand, or at least keep it from falling the way that it could in America. So,
well, I thank you for joining us, James Cronin.
Okay, thank you very much.
Again, James Cronin, Professor of History at Boston College and Associate of the Center for European Studies at Harvard University, where he chairs the British Study Group. His most recent book is What's Left of the Left. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.